Hi, Satellite Sisters. We're excited to announce our new weekly newsletter, Pep Talk. That's right, it's happening. A little pep talk in your inbox on Fridays, starting in August. Every issue will be short and sweet with podcast highlights, our recommendations for books, TVs, and films that are going to keep you entertained, plus recipes and other, you know, tidbits. And of course, there'll be a little pep talk, because we all need that right now, don't we? It's the perfect newsletter to enjoy and then share with your Satellite Sisters and Misters. You can find sign-up links all over the place, on our social media, on our website, on our Facebook, on our Instagram. We would love to have you sign up for Pep Talk now. Thanks. You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. It's great to be with you today. It's the beginning of our 21st season, which that's like longer than Cats, I think. Is it longer than Cats? Ran on Broadway?
Yeah, I had to like refer to Cats and us. No, I don't think that's good, Leanne. That's not the kind of creative direction we want to go in.
I'm Leanne Dolan. I'm the youngest of the sisters, and I'm also the most immature. And I live in Pasadena, California. I'm married. I have two sons who are out of college. This is the first year in decades that I don't have any kids going back to school. And I picked a mighty fine year for that. I'm a writer and producer and happy to be here. How about you, Liz?
Yep. This is Liz Dolan. I am the middle sister. I am in Bend, Oregon. This is my last summer episode in my closet in Bend, Oregon. I'm going to miss sitting here with all of my Brooklyn and sheets and towels.
That's nice.
But yeah. But anyway, I'm just here in my closet with my dog, Hooper. Julie?
Okay, well, I'm Julie Dolan. I am the oldest sister. Leanne loves to remind me of that. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm married. I'm in my closet with my dog, Oliver. He's got his giant head all over my show notes. So we'll just see how that goes today. I'm an empty nester. I've lived and worked all over the world. And I have five grandchildren. So I'm the official Nana on the show. And I call myself Urban Nana because some of my grandchildren live in Brooklyn, New York. I do, as we start the show, I want to send our best, our Satellite Sister best, to all of our friends in Louisiana and Texas that were impacted by Hurricane Laura. No one should have to deal with a natural disaster and a pandemic at the same time. And we are just sending you, you know, good spirits. Mm-hmm. Also, we want to give a Satellite Sister shout out to one of our longtime listeners, Beth Welshones, who has some health issues. Feel better, Beth. That's what we have to say. And that's how we're going to start the show. Leanne.
Okay. We also on the show today, we have a lot going on. We're going to tell you a few things about how the summer went for the sisters. Julie and Liz, you have reports. Julie, you did stuff. Liz, you didn't. Excellent.
Good. Okay.
Sum that up.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the death of Chadwick Boseman. It hit a lot of people on a lot of different levels. Someone who was diagnosed with colon cancer, it was just a stunner to me. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Liz, you have some really personal remembrances of former Georgetown basketball coach John Thompson, who died this week.
That's right, Leanne. I worked with Coach Thompson because he was on the board of directors of Nike when I was a senior executive there. So over the last 24 hours, a lot of us who worked with Coach Thompson have been sort of exchanging emails and remembrances. And I got one that I thought particularly that I would want to share with the Satellite Sisterhood.
All right, Julie, you're on the education desk this fall. You're self-proclaimed our Secretary of Education.
Yeah.
So you have a couple of things that you're talking about in terms of parenting and education, and we'll be talking about that later. College and pandemic parenting, right?
That's exactly right. One group that I think is really trying to make some lemonade out of some lemons. I'll tell you about it later.
All right. We had the big finale of Cooking with Liz. So Liz, you're going to just relive some of the glory of that. You got some very inspiring responses to your Facebook post too. It was fun to read. And we have a couple of entertaining sisters recommendations. And we're announcing the plans for the fall, like what's going to be happening this fall. So you're going to want to stay tuned. What a show.
Yeah.
What a show.
Yeah, first of all, we've got plans, you know. Yeah. We don't always have plans.
No.
Sometimes we just go to week to week, but we felt like we really needed to embrace fall 2020 in an optimistic, positive way. So, yeah, you're going to hear about that.
All right. September 1. Here we go. All right, Jill. So how was your summer, Jill?
We had a summer vacation. We were on hiatus and I had two big new adventures that I wanted to tell you about. We were in Colorado. We had to travel back to Texas. And that's almost a 2-day trip. And my son and daughter-in-law came up with some scheme that we would go camping. Rather than stay in a hotel, we would camp somewhere on our way back to Texas. Now, I think I've established, if you've listened to the show for any amount of time, that I'm really up for a lot of activities outdoors, right? I mean, I enjoy hiking. I enjoy winter sports. I'm outdoors a lot, but I like camping. I have a no camping rule. Okay. I am happy to spend all day, even most of the evening outside. But at the end of the day, I want a bed and I want a bathroom and I want to be inside. Okay. So that's it. I have a no camping rule, but I was under a lot of family peer pressure. Okay. Because they really wanted to go camping and I was fine to stay in a hotel, but they came up with a scheme and they said they found a place outside of Red River, New Mexico. And this is in the winter, it's a cross country ski area. But in the summer they rent out the yurts. Now, you both know what a yurt is, right?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's worth explaining.
It is that you find these a lot in Central Asia. They are round. They're a round hut with a domed top. And these yurts, they use as warming huts for the skiers in the winter. But in the summers, they've got them outfitted with some futons and some pots and pans and a couple of lanterns, and you can camp out in the yurt. And they got a porta potty. So that's what we did. And I have to say, it really was pretty good because you're up off the ground. Okay.
That's the key, Julie. I think the one thing I don't like about camping is really the sleeping on the ground part of it.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, you're still in a sleeping bag. Okay. And my face was still freezing cold all night long. And my dog was, the dogs really didn't know how to settle down in a yurt. So like every 3 hours, my dog was licking my face. So that was not so great. But I have a new rule though. I was way outside my comfort zone. I really wasn't looking forward to this. I was trying to be, a good trooper about it. And I wanted to be with my grandchildren. I certainly felt like it was a good, safe way to travel. I mean, we had to hike a mile to get to the yurt. So we weren't around anyone else. So that part of it seemed good. So my big learning, Leanne and Liz, was have yurt, we'll camp. I guess that's what I
gotta
say.
Okay, right? Life-changing, potentially okay. Life-changing.
Okay, so that's my first big, learning over the last month. And I think even though it's a small one, I think we just have to, just celebrate these small things. The other thing that I'm really excited to tell you about is that I've taken up kettlebelling. Okay. Kettlebells. Okay. Well, right when at the beginning of in March, when everybody else was online ordering masks and gloves, my husband started ordering kettlebells because he realized he was not going to be able to go to the gym. He does a lot of exercise with kettlebells. And so he started madly ordering a lot of kettlebells. But here's a little known fact, sisters. There is a worldwide kettlebell shortage. Did you know this? That apparently
I have seen articles. Yeah, I have seen articles.
This equipment is in short supply.
Yeah, like it's just like you can't get them. They had a very delicate supply chain and it totally broke down when everybody, everybody started ordering kettlebells. So we've had kettlebells arriving at our house just randomly over the last 6 months, you know, and they're not light. You know, some are big, some are heavy. But there they are. And so we have a whole collection. So I just started swinging those things and kind of enjoying it. I think it's I've added that to my daily routine to do some kettlebelling. So two things, yurting and kettlebelling.
Nice.
That's my full report.
OK, you got to take your wins where you can find them.
I'm sorry, Liz, I talked over you. Go ahead. What'd you say?
I was just saying you have to take your wins where you can find them. Julie, good for you. Yurts and kettlebells, two good things.
Well, the other day we got a package misdelivered to our house. And I thought, okay, I'll just bring it down to the neighbors three houses down. I'm like, what the heck? It was like 50 pounds of kettlebells, literally 50 pounds of kettlebells. I read the outside and I was like struggling to get it to the car. I was just going to walk it down. Oh, and then I could barely make it up their front step. I just dumped it like halfway up the driveway. I was like,
our UPS guy is really mad at us because of all these kettlebells.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're not the only house getting all of that stuff. Well, I thought I would start. Normally, you know, I would start like our first show back after our summer off, beginning of new season, with what I did on my summer vacation. But, you know, this year is just that kind of year, sisters. I'm going to start with what I didn't do over my summer vacation because there were a few things I was pretty sure I was going to complete. And especially because I left Santa Monica at the end of June, I packed a bunch of stuff in my car and I knew I would be up here in Bend, Oregon, you know, for a month or two. And I also knew that a lot of the work I had been scheduled to do this summer was canceled, you know, like the Olympics, things like that were not happening. So I was like, okay, wide open. I'm going to get an unbelievable amount of stuff done this summer. So I just wanted to mention three things that I did not accomplish. Number one is I created for myself before I left Santa Monica, like a box of docs, I'll call it. You know how Queen Elizabeth,
do you liken yourself to the queen, my sister?
No.
Elizabeth?
I'm just saying that she gets that box every day, right? And you see her opening her box and reading things and signing things.
Yes.
So I thought, okay, I should just put all my important documents in a box and then I can work through the box. And so I don't know about you, but on my desk at home, I have this giant pile of things. Like when I open stuff, I think, oh, I'll read that later. I'll work on that later. I'll do that later. So I took the entire pile and I put it in a, of course, in a FabFitFun box because they're the best.
They are good. They're great boxes.
And they're so attractive too.
And they're attractive. And then when I got here, I put it right on my desk. I have a nice desk in my bedroom here in Bend. And I thought I'll just work through this box all summer. This will be super organized of me. So how many times do you think I opened that box? Well, zero times. I opened that box zero times. So now it's on the verge of packing up to go home. And I'm like, really? I'm going to just carry this box of docs all the way home again. I'm discouraged in myself that I didn't even, I don't even know what's in there anymore. You know, once it's 2 or 3 months old, how timely could it be? So that was number one. I did not do that. Number two is, it was pretty obvious early on in 2020 that this was the summer to learn how to give yourself a pedicure, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
This was it. Well, I did not do that. I did manage to buy a nail clipper and kind of hack away at my toes.
Oh, gosh, don't even. Oh, I can't. Oh,
I know.
Yeah, we've seen Cooking with Liz. So we're a little worried about what your toenails look like. Don't tell us.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the best I could manage to do, was sort of keep my toenails. But it really helps you appreciate that there's so much more to a pedicure than that. So, so my feet are not presentable. And I would say that the Fred Flintstone effect is really heightened by the fact that I've been mainly in my backyard all summer and often barefoot. So the bottoms of my feet are pretty heinous. Definitely the Fred Flintstone look. So I don't know how I ever get back from where I am right now with my feet. But anyway, I failed to accomplish that this summer.
Well, this is really quite a cheery report. So I can't wait for item number three on the list.
Okay, so item number three, this was another thing. When I was packing to leave Santa Monica, first let me say, yesterday is when I started getting my car ready to drive home. Oh, one bright note, I did get an oil change. You know, I got all that done yesterday. So major score. Yeah. Thank you very much. Though this oil change place I went to, it was like, you know how when you walk into a sushi bar, all the sushi chefs kind of yell like, hey.
Yeah.
That's what they were doing at this oil change place. Like they have some kind of gimmick that's like, hey, oil. Every time they did something new to my car, everyone cheered. I don't know. But the good news was they let you just sit in your car now. You don't have to go into the stinky waiting room. So that was good. Anyway.
Maybe they do pedicures there. Maybe that. Hey, pedicure.
Yeah, that would be great. Anyway, so as I was starting to clean out my car yesterday, getting ready for the drive home, I realized that I have a big rug rolled up in the way back. And so this was a dirty runner I had at home in Santa Monica. And I had meant to drop it off at the cleaners before I left. And then I didn't have time. So
oh
I thought,
my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh, Liz.
I mean, I can't, if people are listening and they forget that you had like major jobs at major corporations.
I know, like controlling multi-million dollar things. And like you are go, 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 go all the time running projects.
Yeah. And then the rug in the back of your car is what trips you up. Okay, Liz.
Well, you know, so I didn't really have time to drop it off at the cleaners before I left. So I thought, I'll just leave it in the back of my car. I'll bring it to Oregon. I'll have it cleaned there. It will probably be cheaper in Oregon. And then I'll bring it home. That's the advantage to driving places, sisters. You can just throw a lot of crap in the back of your car. So it's
a slippery slope there, Liz. That's a very slippery slope.
It did seem like a good idea at the time. But the one thing I forgot to do was take it to a cleaner when I got here. Yeah. So essentially, one thing I did accomplish this summer is that I drove a dirty rug 1,000 miles here, and now I'm driving a dirty rug 1,000 miles home. So you could count that as an accomplishment, but I am a little disappointed in myself. Anyway, those are the top three things I did not do this summer.
Wow. Okay. You got to get it together when you get back here, Liz. That's all I can say. Because you know, feet like that don't fly in Southern California.
I know.
You can get away with those feet in Bend, Oregon, not in Santa Monica.
Right. I know, Leanne. I know. I'm having trouble setting goals. This is something I know we're going to talk about later in the season, because it's hard when time has no meaning anymore to set goals and get them done.
Right.
So
it is.
Okay. So I did want to mention one thing, though. One of the things I do is I monitor the show and I get a report every week on downloads and new reviews. And so I would like to say thank you to Margie. Margie posted a review of our show where she just said, thanks, sisters, for staying so fresh and positive. You are handling 2020 very impressively. So,
Margie. Thank you, Margie.
Margie.
Apparently, she hadn't heard this report yet.
Yeah. So. Sorry, Margie.
Thank you, Margie. I would like to say it does take focus. And I think the key word here is intentional, right? That's the cool word everybody uses now. We do very intentionally try to lead with optimism. So thank you for noticing, Margie. And for anyone else who would like to be like Margie, please feel free to post a very positive review of our show wherever you want.
Liz, that does roll right into our fall preview. As Margie has noted, fresh and positive, those are some great words. And we did sit down and decide, okay, this is going to be a long haul this fall. Stuff is happening in the world that's rough. We have a lot of tensions there. People are nervous and tired, and some people are sick, and we want people to stay up and to stay positive, but to be realistic about what we're all facing. So to that end, we really decided, what can we do this fall to be helpful to the Satellite Sisterhood and Misterhood? How can we bring information that is both positive and helpful, but pertinent in this time? And so we have a couple of special series coming up. We're looking forward to October, or should we say Locktober? Locktober.
That's the big idea. Locktober. We're still laughing.
It's a funny special joke, Leanne.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It's a special series of interviews to get you up, get you going, and get you through. We're going to be talking to experts in the health and wellness fields about all kinds of topics, from getting back on track nutritionally and fitness-wise, mental health, Liz mentioned goal setting, things like that. We want to be a place where you can turn to, like, get up, get going, and get through this. And that's happening in Locktober. We have a bunch of special projects we're working on and interviews with various people that we'll be doing. So we're looking forward to that. We're happy to welcome Claire Tansey back to Satellite Sisters. She was a favorite for her cookbook, Uncomplicated. She helped Liz through Cooking with Liz. And Claire is going to be back in September. Her new book is called Dinner Uncomplicated. So there you go. We've got your meal planning set. Just pre-order Claire's new book and you'll be good to go September 29th. And then starting next week, Julie came up with the idea, let's go back Instagram, Facebook contest. We love a good contest here at Satellite Sisters.
We're going to have some fun with this. This is, you know, small accomplishments. What you've done? What did you make something? You know, we'll tell you all about it next week, right?
Right. More details next week. But if you've been doing any special projects or learning special skills, you're going to want to document those, and then we'll give you all the details next week. So we are thinking about you. We have some stuff planned for this fall that we hope brings a smile and a pep talk to your life. That's what we're thinking about, right, sisters?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're determined about this, right? I think that's determined to be optimistic. Yep.
All right. Thank you, Julie. Thanks, Liz. Okay. Liz, good luck on that drive home.
with the rug and your feet and that box.
I mean, it's just a summer 2020 thing, but fall is going to be so much better. I can already tell, especially once I get to Locktober. I'm going to be just really accomplishing a lot.
There you go. All right. We are going to take some time now to thank a couple of sponsors who support the Satellite Sisters podcast.
Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E. pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
Okay, we are back. Sad news on Friday. Sad, shocking news that the actor Chadwick Boseman had died at age 43. And when that news alert came up on my phone Friday night, I thought, I hope it's not COVID. And then when I clicked through and I saw that he had died from colon cancer,
it was a shocker.
I started shaking. I mean, he is an actor. You know him from the Black Panther, of course. He portrayed Jackie Robinson in the wonderful movie 42, Thurgood Marshall in the movie Marshall. By all accounts, from everyone that's worked with him and known him a long time, just a decent, wonderful, thoughtful actor who made really intentional choices about his role and his life, such an inspiration, you know, gave wonderful speeches and really meant so much to so many people for so many different reasons. A very, very sad death.
So young.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And colon cancer. I no wonder, you know, because you've just been getting through that yourself. I can see why that really shocked you.
It was surprising. And, you know, I felt very lucky. I feel lucky all the time that mine was detected early. It was stage one. It was a surgical solution. But what I think surprised people was that he was so young. And here's just some truths about colon cancer, because that's how I'm coming at this. I know other people are looking at it like he's their role model for their young sons and daughters and things like that. But just a few things. More people under the age of 50 are getting colorectal cancer. You know, it's something you think of as a post-50 thing. We joke about the colonoscopies, but now even the American Cancer Society says that those mandatory colonoscopies should start at 45 now, not 50. Huh. That percentage of people under 50 that get it, it's risen to 12.2%. So that's not insignificant. It means, you know, more than one in every 10 cases of colon cancer is someone under 50. And what happens is because doctors aren't looking for it, patients aren't looking for it, you may not go to the doctor right away if you have signs because you're not even thinking about that. People like Chadwick Boseman tend to be diagnosed at later stages. By the time he was diagnosed at a stage 3. Like it meant that he already was having symptoms. I mean, I'm not his doctor, but I'm guessing he was having symptoms and that's why he went in. And as opposed to someone like me, I wasn't having any symptoms and I was stage 1. So it was a surprise. But if you're already feeling something, pain, having blood in your stool or something like that, that's definitely a sign to go in. It could mean that you'd be diagnosed at a later stage. And colon cancer does affect African Americans and Hispanics at a higher level. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you have someone in your life who is under 50, it doesn't mean that their symptoms aren't important and they shouldn't go get checked out. And I've just seen, I'm on a couple of Facebook groups for colorectal cancer patients. And the outpouring has been amazing. It's really, really touched people very deeply that this is how he lost his life. And one of the other things people might not know about colon cancer is the chemotherapy that is used for colon cancer patients does not make you lose your hair. So that's
why we never saw that he was sick.
Yeah,
because he kept working and made many of these movies while he was under treatment.
Right. Yeah. So and that's one of those things that's discussed pretty regularly there. It's sort of an ironic truth because people say they can be really sick and feel really terrible. But because they have their hair and maybe they've lost a few pounds, people keep saying, wow, you look great. You look fantastic. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
things must be going really well. And it's one of those things that if you're the patient, that can be kind of hard to manage emotionally. But for him, you know, he decided to keep this very private and that was his choice. And it sounds like, you know, it was rather sudden at the end. And I just, my heart goes out to him and his family and to the millions of fans that he has out there, particularly all those African-American boys and girls who were holding the funerals and stuff. Really, really touching. So.
Yeah. I noticed that our longtime listener, Tara, she posted a picture from last Halloween of like, all the kids in her neighborhood, including her own son, who were dressed as the Black Panther. Aww. You know, that like,
yeah,
kids just really
it, that's really a good movie too.
Yeah.
Yes. I watched it with my grandchildren. I, you know, not real a big superhero fan, you know, movie, but it was really good.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen 42 about Jackie Robinson.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
A very complex portrayal of a very complex man, Jackie Robinson. And, you know, the Robinson family had resisted that sort of portrayal for a long time. So they actually like handpicked Chadwick Boseman to play him. So anyway, just a reminder that it's, you know, this is unfortunate that the incidence of colorectal cancer is on the rise for young people. So take symptoms seriously and see your doctor if you can.
Thank you, Leanne. Yeah.
So I also wanted to mention that another person we lost this week who really leaves a great positive legacy is John Thompson, the former Georgetown basketball coach. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, I got to know him pretty well because he was on the Nike board of directors. So, you know, you'd go in and you'd do these, you know, big presentations to the members of the board. And it was always pretty intimidating. But John Thompson in particular, because he was so used to working with young people, he had just a different way of framing questions, a different set of things he was interested in. And I always appreciated that about him. But he was also the kind of guy that you could contact outside of a formal board presentation and get advice from. So yesterday, I got an email from someone who had also worked with him that reminded me of, again, what was so great about Coach Thompson. So I just wanted to read you part of what she sent me. This came from, her name is Liz Nealon. And at the time, she was making a television show for a children's television workshop called Ghostwriter. And it was on PBS and it was brand new. And it was a kids' literacy show designed to be really fun. So anyway, so she wrote to me and she said, Liz, I was thinking of you when I read about John Thompson. I was a huge fan of Coach Thompson, Patrick Ewing, and all the Hoyas. It was the honor of my life when you asked me to participate in the brainstorming session about how Nike could try to be more inclusive of girls and women. And that working group included John Thompson. I had given birth to my daughter just weeks before and was on maternity leave, but I didn't hesitate a second before coming in for that meeting. And, you know, I had sort of forgotten that that happened. It was great to get this reminder. Anyway, she goes on to say, Do you remember when he talked that day about how important it was for girls to see women competing at the highest level? To illustrate the point, he told us a story about when he was a boy and Jackie Robinson's voice would come on the radio. His mother would make them all come to that kitchen table and sit and listen to Mr. Robinson speak. Coach Thompson said that hearing a Black man on the radio made him believe that he too could succeed in sports, something that had never seemed accessible to him before. He was such a wise man and a mentor to so many. So that's the end of her email. I got kind of choked up reading that because it was such a great reminder that, you know, he was very outspoken in public and people know that about him, but also in private, he was in the game. You could call him and he really wanted to help. It wasn't just I guess the new word is performative, right? It was just,
right.
he was walking the walk and talking the talk. So, so thank you, Liz, for sending me that reminder. And to Coach Thompson, I just want to say rest in power, Coach. Thank you.
Two great men. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we're going to turn. We're going to talk a little bit about fall semester because it's September. But, you know, as we all know, fall semester for most college students is not what they thought they were going to get.
Right.
You know, classes are virtual. Some are, you know, some people are under quarantine. But they had an interesting article in the New York Times about a group of, I'm just going to call them enterprising college students. What the New York Times identified was a trend where groups of college students that were at colleges where classes were all going to be virtual, they decided, hey, if we can't be on campus, we don't want to be home on the couch or in our childhood bedrooms. So they were getting together in groups to rent large houses with their friends and creating sort of an off-campus living experience. And the article posted, you know, they had some were very lavish, you know, for privileged kids. They had one group of MIT students that were going to Hawaii for the term. But they were going to be there with their laptops in Hawaii, or Columbia students that they wanted to be in Portland, Oregon, or Harvard undergrads that they decided to rent a cabin in Montana. But just, you know, they range from very lavish to much more budget friendly things. They also, for students, for some students who don't have, you know, really good Wi-Fi at their homes, that sometimes this, you know, group living where you have a good Wi-Fi connection made it much more usable. So it's sort of, they were creating their own junior year abroad programs. And many of these
I thought it was really smart. I thought it was super clever.
I did too. I mean, and sometimes this required the students prepared PowerPoint presentations for their parents, you know, that as to the cost benefit analysis, but really they were creating their own learning environment. Okay. Yeah. And that's what a lot of them said, that this is obviously a really difficult year, but they wanted to be able to experience things together and create different extracurricular experiences for them and have the opportunity of living and working in a community for a first time. So I thought this was really
very interesting,
you know? Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's not that cheap to live on campuses. It's very expensive. So there is a scenario by which this is certainly much cheaper than living on campus and being forced to do the meal plan and stuff like that on campus. And you never know, Julie, those Caltech students, there's that big observatory there in Hawaii. Maybe they're actually astrophysics.
They could be, Leanne. I know. I was like, Hawaii. Ooh, that's a good idea. I mean, they might have to quarantine for 14 days. But it's not just homes. They also, others were renting RVs, okay? Which I thought, okay. They're going to go on a journey. They were doing that. Even summer camps. Summer camps were getting into this because they realized they could rent the cabins and have groups of students staying together in the cabins. So
it's going to be a long winter in a cabin at a summer camp, though.
Well, maybe it's in a more temperate climate. Okay.
I know you're into the yurts now, Julie.
I know they could, like, yes, you can get a yurt. Your face is cold at night, but other than that, it was pretty good. But I thought, you know, this is really something, you know, that's new. It is, higher ed is definitely going to be changed in some, as we've talked about on the show, in a much more dramatic way. They quote one student, Daniel Campbell, who was a rising senior at the University of Ottawa. And he said, we are mere pawns in this huge game of academia. Well, we have little or no to say about what's going on or what's going to happen. So they just took control, you know, and I think at many levels, that's what people are trying to do now, is to get a little more control in their lives. So I wish these students well. The group in Hawaii, I would like a postcard. I want an update, and I want to see your fall grades. Okay? We'll see how that goes. Okay. Second story that I have, sisters, again, about sort of coping in the new world. The New York Times parenting column, which I read, even though I don't have children at home, but they had a very interesting story, a very honest story. A woman wrote about what it was. She was living with her in-laws for a variety of reasons. And I think this situation, sort of multi-generational living, that's happened to a lot of people. They just, you know, have found themselves moving in with their parents and their in-laws. And she wrote about, like, living with her in-laws really was, you know, creating some stress, because she found that she was really, you know, she was trying to parent her child, but she found she was really trying to seek the approval of her in-laws at the same time. And so she talks about parenting with an audience.
Oh, that's a good phrase. That's a great phrase.
I think it is. I think prior to 2020, we, you know, we would go on holidays and you could be with your in-laws or your parents, and you have this very sort of isolated time where, you know, you can observe parenting styles or difference in parenting styles. But when you're in it for the long haul, you see more of this, and it creates sort of more stress. And I reached out to one of my satellite sisters, Leslie, who you both know. And she currently has a situation where she is living with her husband, a grown son, a grown daughter-in-law, a son-in-law, a four-year-old granddaughter, and a collection of four dogs. Brought dogs. And I said, how are you doing it? Are you finding this kind of stress where, you know, your kids are trying to parent their, you know, the grandchild, and you're watching? And she wrote and she said, well, first of all, it wasn't planned. That she went to help her daughter for 2 weeks in March. You know, that I think many of these multi-generational living situations, you know, nobody planned or thought about it ahead of time. And then this lack of clarity about the duration of this, of the isolation, she said it's really hit all of them differently, and that, you know, it's created moodiness and some stress. But they said the four-year-old, who can be, you sometimes want to pull your hair out, but she said she is also the one that really lifts the mood in the group, you know, that somehow, you know, being with children, you know, that can make them, you know, that makes them all the like day-to-day stuff do it, but sort of disappear. But I thought this was, you know, so interesting that so many, you know, so many families are facing these short-term or longer-term arrangements where they're living, living with their in-laws and their parents, and, you know, people, and it's creating some stress, you know?
Yeah.
can see it. I mean, and not knowing like, well, it's all going to, you know, I can manage because I know in a week we're leaving.
See, right.
People don't, they don't have that sense of when this is going to be over. So, everybody has to make a big adjustment, to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to hear from some of our listeners on how that's working for them, because you can tell in the Facebook group, there are a lot of people that have found themselves in that situation. And as you say, Julie, it's not like we knew in March that this was going to be as long as this will obviously be. So people made sort of short-term decisions that have now stretched into whole family strategies kind of unintentionally. So right. it's a real challenge.
All right. Yeah, I would be curious too. Again, very, very challenging. I would say that parenting with an audience that just sounds terrible.
yeah, that's really, you know, it is hard. You know, I know even this summer, I think at one moment, my daughter-in-law, there was something was going on and she had to discipline her children. She like removed that, you know, I went in a different place. You have to let parents do what they're doing, but we had to create the space so that she could be the parent and I wasn't the audience, which I think is, is important. Yeah.
Self-aware, very self-aware of you, Julie. Way to go. Proud of you.
Got to try every day. Got to be determined. Try.
All right. We're going to be back with the season finale of Cooking with Liz. But first, we'd like to thank a few of Satellite Sisters' sponsors.
Liz, summer is coming up. And you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. no antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in to Satellite Sisters today. We really appreciate it. Hey, maybe you're new to the show. You just decided in September to like try a few new podcasts. So maybe you don't know that we have a new weekly newsletter, Pep Talk. That's right. It launched in August. What do you think, sisters? How am I doing with the pep talk?
I feel enlightened and pepped up, Leanne. I love all the graphics. And you've had some very thoughtful things to say. So thank you, yes. Leanne.
And it's super fun to read. It's like short and sweet and fun and uplifting, but is provocative in its own way. So I am really enjoying it, sister. Thank you for doing all the heavy lifting on that.
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying putting it together. Right. I've made it like pretty simple. Pretty, you know, we've got sections. You've got your pep talk, your to-do list, some recommendations, you know, one last thought. I don't want to say it's automated, but I did it so that people could read it easily and Friday morning in their inbox and just feel a little bit of uplift. They could send it to their friends. Lots of links back to listen to the podcast or join our Facebook group or follow us on Instagram or links to articles, recipes, things we enjoy. So it's not all Satellite Sister stuff. There's a lot of extra stuff in there. And this week, I want to let people know that we're going to feature our favorite Instagram accounts. So that's exclusive content to the newsletter. I think that's what they told me at newsletter marketing school to say. So exclusive
just
content.
Keep saying exclusive content.
That you're going to get. The Instagram accounts that Julie, Liz, and I enjoy following, and some other great items in this week's pep talk. So if you haven't signed up yet, please do. We'll have the link in the show notes, but you can also find it in multiple places on our website. In fact, if you go to the website, there's a pop-up that comes up. You'll get it there. There are many links all over the page and the contact page, almost everywhere on the website. Also on our Facebook and Instagram, you can find it. So we'd love to have you sign up for Pep Talk and join us. Look for it in your inbox Friday mornings. And if you can't find it in your inbox, look in your spam. I swear, it's there. I promise you, it's there.
All right, now I want to jump in with my own bit of a pep talk. This is my Cooking with Liz shout outs to the sisters and the misters who got on the home cooking bandwagon with me during the course of this first run of Cooking with Liz. So on Sunday, all three of us together, we hosted the first ever Satellite Sisters Sauce of the Summer episode to wrap up the summer of Cooking with Liz. That was fun, wasn't it, you guys?
It was fun. Yeah.
I would like to thank Michelle, listener Michelle, who noted that, you know, she's very happy at the launch of the Saucies. So that's what we're going to call it from now on, the Saucies. In summers to come, you're all going to be looking forward to the Saucies. Anyway, you can watch the video of that episode. Now, it's in our Facebook group. That's where it happens live. But then usually afterwards, I post it on our Facebook page and also in our Instagram feed. So it's in all of those places. And in the half hour, I also review what I learned this summer cooking. So maybe you learned it too. I don't know. I'd like to hear about it. Anyway, so our grand prize winner of the Saucies is Mama Capra's Marinara. So, Leanne, you're going to put this recipe in Pep Talk this week, right?
Yes, I am. That's more exclusive content. No, you can actually find the recipe other places. But if you're still searching for it, sign up for Pep Talk. It'll be in your inbox Friday morning. Mama Capra's Marinara.
So not only did Mama Capra win, but she also celebrated her 95th birthday last week. So that's just exactly the way these things should work out.
Yeah.
So the ultimate OG satellite, Mr. Mark Capra, my dear friend Mark. He's the one who shared the recipe with us and gave me a lesson. So on Sunday, after Mark had seen the episode, he said, Mama Capra is delighted by her award and wants to know what her prize is. So, we really hadn't thought that through yet, Mark. So I'm going to get on that. I may get, you know who on the blower. But I think it might be more fun to just send a Satellite Sister swag bag for all of you to enjoy. So
for I'm working sure. on that.
Yes. So, but meanwhile, I wanted to salute all of the Satellite Sisters and Misters who tried brand new things in the cooking realm this summer, inspired by my own humble experiments, which resulted in some successes and some failures, but a lot of learnings. So, first of all, Barb Butterworth, my goodness, she wrote, I love this. She said, the biggest thing you did for me was encourage me to buy a grill. I've been widowed for 5 years. I'm a good cook. Don't mean to brag, but it's true. But my husband was always the one that grilled. I could make a great beer can chicken, but I never tried anything else. But once you got to Bend and I saw that Tuscan grill, girl, you inspired me. So I got on the blower with Amazon and bought myself a grill. And because of what you've been doing, I was encouraged to know that if I put my mind to, I could do this. And guess what? I'm doing great. I've been grilling fish, pork, steaks, you know, vegetables, all kinds of things. I even did a spatchcock chicken on the grill the other day. That was awesome. So,
I love that. That's really
cool. I mean, Julie, don't you think you get around to spatchcocking? You really,
yes, you know, that's almost my middle name, Liz. Yes.
Anyway, so congrats to Barb. Melanie, shout out to you, Melanie. She wrote, just a personal note. I've been inspired so much by Liz. I went and signed up with Claire Tanzi and the special online dinner cooking class.
Oh my gosh. That's so great.
Yes. I didn't even know that was going on out there, Melanie. So thanks for the heads up on that. Maybe this fall. Anyway, and then Natalie posted that she made poached eggs for the very first time. And you know what? So much of cooking with Liz was about doing these very simple things for the first time. It was my first time too, Natalie. Now, the poached eggs were in the Clancy Miller polenta and mushroom recipe. But, you know, it's very empowering to think, oh my God, I can't poach an egg. And then you do it and you're like, I totally can poach an egg. Anyway, so thank you to everyone who got on the bandwagon. Maybe during our contest coming up, these are exactly the kinds of learning new things and getting them done, which might get you into the competition, right?
Yeah.
So thanks,
exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Liz, I found the whole thing very inspiring. So good for you. I'm very proud of you. I hope you keep cooking.
Liz, you were tenacious about it. And you have learned a lot. And you've certainly acquired some good tools now.
Yes, okay? Yes.
Put them to use. Put them to use.
I'm very excited about it.
Okay, it's time for Entertaining Sisters. We have some recommendations here. All right, I have a podcast. I am 100% late to the party on 99% Invisible, which is the podcast that uses design as a way in to tell stories. It's been going on for years. It's a hugely popular podcast. I have just started listening to it based on a recommendation from my son, Colin, and I can't say enough about how much I enjoy it. So if you're looking to sort of expand your worldview without going through politics or news right now, if you feel like you have enough of those on your download list, I recommend 99% Invisible. It's just fascinating how they'll take something, like I listened to an episode yesterday about a memorial to Franco, you know, the dictator in Spain. Mm-hmm. And how that was designed, but then they use that as a chance to tell you about the entire Spanish Civil War that happened just 50 years ago that people don't really talk about even in Spain. So mm-hmm. I thought, oh my gosh, this is a million things I didn't know, all gone in through by the window of design and architecture. So I recommend it highly, 99% Invisible.
Okay. Well, I wanted to recommend a couple things I learned from doing my outdoor movies this summer. Remember, I told you at the beginning of the summer that I was going to get a projector and set up an outdoor movie theater so I could A, watch the movies, but also B, maybe occasionally invite people over in a socially distanced kind of way for some safe entertainment. So that's what I did. So a couple of big lessons. What are the best kind of movies to watch on your outdoor movie setup? I think it's movies that most of you have seen before and want to be able to talk about as you watch. So it's just ideal for that. So for me, that was Napoleon Dynamite. This was Leo.
It's a good one. Yes.
Yeah. I had never seen it, Julie.
Liz. Yeah.
No, I know. So Leo, our nephew, who is 22, he was home for a long weekend and he suggested we watch it. So Leo and our brother Dick and our sister-in-law Susan, we were all spread out in my backyard watching Napoleon Dynamite. They've all seen it many, many times. I had never seen it. So we could discuss as we went through previous times they've seen it, or I realized that's the kind of movie that gave birth to like 1,000 memes, you know?
Yes.
Things that I've seen over and over again, all the jokes about tater tots that I didn't understand, all of the, you know, vote for Pedro t-shirts you see around. Like, I knew they were from Napoleon Dynamite, but I did not have the cultural context. So it was fun to watch that movie and just talk about it, which if you're watching in a movie theater, you're not doing that. Even I think if I'm watching at home in my living room, I'm not doing that. There's something about being outside in a relaxed environment. So Napoleon Dynamite, great, but anything that you want to discuss. Then on the worst end of the spectrum, maybe the movies that are not that well suited to outdoor is movies that have a lot of scary audio that your neighbors might misinterpret. So I'm just
screams.
Yes.
Things
yeah.
like, oh, I can see that. Yeah.
I do have very close neighbors on both sides, even though there are fences between us. So I think anything in the shoot 'em up category, probably not good. Loud love scenes. You don't really want people hearing that from your backyard. That could be misinterpreted. Or in my case, it was the human screaming and the raptor cries from Jurassic Park. I kept turning down the sound, Julie, because it was alarming the neighbor dog. I think the neighbor dog.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. Thought he was being attacked by creatures. So anyway, so that with Jurassic Park, you know, you really want to crank a movie like that up. But if a lot of people are hearing that too, could be misinterpreted. That's all I'm saying. And then the last movie thing, we mentioned it earlier. I did Sunday night after reading about Chadwick Boseman. I watched Black Panther, which is just such a beautiful movie. I mean,
elegant.
Just visually, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. And you need to really appreciate that. Having that on a big outdoor screen was really great. So I recommend Black Panther. So those are my top tips for outdoor movies for the summer.
See,
Liz,
you did learn something this summer, Liz. You did accomplish things.
Yes.
I mean, you still got home with the dirty rug and the box and your feet. But
and the Fred Flintstone feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did okay, Liz. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie. Thank you. I feel better already. Thank you for that pep talk.
All right. That's what season 21 is all about. We're here for you, Liz. We're here for you, Satellite Sisters. That's the show for this week. We'd like to thank Sergio Enriquez for engineering and for keeping us on track. Sergio did some great work in August putting all those best of shows together. So a special thanks to you today, Sergio. We miss seeing you. If you're looking for codes or informations about the informations, if you're looking for some informations about the sponsors, information about the sponsor, you can just tap on the cover art. Liz, you put the links in all the show notes, right?
Always links to everything, and it takes you right through, and if there's a promo code or anything, that's in the show notes.
Yes, there you go. Okay, what's on the to-do list for the week? Jewel, what do you got on your to-do list?
Okay, what's on my to-do list? I am starting my protest of one. I just wanted sisters, I want you to know that the next named storm for 2020, and there are already 4 depressions churning in the Indian Ocean. Are you ready for this? The next named storm is going to be Hurricane Nana. Can I say that again? Hurricane Nana.
Wow.
I mean, why would they do this? Why? Nana
Someone has issues. Someone...
I,
has this.
Leanne, Nana isn't a name. It's a relationship. Okay. Why would they do that? Right. They're going to traumatize my grandchildren, many other grandchildren. What's next? Is it going to be Hurricane Mom? Hurricane Dad?
Hurricane Pop Pop?
I know.
So, Julie, you're right. This seems really like a bad idea. You
very
have to
bad
make this
idea.
Stop.
So I have to find the committee that works up on the names. And I think Nanas of the world, we need to unite against this. Okay. I mean,
maybe too late. I'm guessing.
I know
it's too late.
I mean, they're in the Indian Ocean. Okay. Nana's out there. Okay. And I know for many people who have had names associated with terrible storms, it's a burden. But that's your name. This is my relationship. Okay. You see?
Yeah. No, okay. That's
deep. Well, you know, maybe Hurricane Nana will just come in, whirl around, do some laundry, correct your table manners, and then leave in a huff. I mean, maybe that's what you'll do. Okay. On my to-do list, I have a lot of book events in September and October. And so my number one to-do list is don't forget to show up. You know, I live in terror that I'm going to forget one of these events. And it's particularly easy when they're all virtual. You don't have to go anywhere. So I want to thank everybody who's signed up for all the book clubs and who's contacted me. And we've arranged private book clubs, and I'm doing a lot of speaking again. So I have about 15 events in September and the same amount in October. So thank you so much for continuing to support the Sweeney Sisters. I promise I'm going to show up, but always feel free to send me a reminder email. Never. It's never too much. It's never too much. It's never a burden.
Okay. How about you, Liz?
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, I am starting to pack up for the drive home. And this summer, I've made some major investments in things like anchovy paste and horseradish. So for the first time ever, I'm taking this stuff home with me. I'm not leaving it in the Spice Museum or in some refrigerator drawer up here. Like the good stuff that I bought this summer, I'm gathering it up now and I'm taking it home. I am leaving the buttermilk for Monica. Monica will be here right after I leave because I really don't think the buttermilk will survive a trip home.
No.
But the non-perishables, I'm taking them with me, sisters. That's it. That's how committed I am to my you know, the layering of flavors as you've encouraged me.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. That refrigerator in Bend is where condiments go to die.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm glad you're.
Yeah. Clean it out.
Yeah. Take it. Take that anchovy paste. You're going to have umami all fall, Liz. That's what you want. More umami in your life.
Can't wait.
All right. Thanks, everybody. That's it. That's a wrap on the first show of season 21. I hope you enjoyed it. Please let us know what you're thinking about the show and our fall plans. You can always join our Facebook group. It's a private group. You can just search the Satellite Sisters on Facebook. We have a public page, and we also have an Instagram feed at Sat Sisters. We'd like to see you in all those places. And don't forget Pep Talk, the weekly newsletter. Hey, sisters, have a great week.
You too, Leanne.
And don't forget, call your satellite sister.